Natalia Naaman is a three-time nominee for the Wendy Wasserstein Prize, Cherry Lane Mentor Project finalist, and a finalist for the Many Voices Fellowship at the Playwright Center. She graduated from Princeton University with a BA in English and the NYU Tisch School with an MFA in dramatic writing. Her play opens this year's Essential Theater Play Festival, which was founded by Peter Hardy, the director, who is also here with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. So the play opens Friday. The Essential Theater Play Festival opens Friday. Natalia, we'll start with your show, which has been chosen. It is The Old Ship of Zion.
That's right.
Why did you choose to set it in the African-American church?
Well, it started off as my senior thesis project as an undergraduate. And at that point, I had never written a full-length play. And I always heard creative writers say, write what you know. So I felt like it was something I knew, but also something that I could spend, at that point, I figured a year max, you know, writing about. But it's, of course, been much longer than that, that I've been continuing to develop the play. But it's just a world that I find extremely rich, complex, contradictory, and just warm. And, you know, it's just nice to be immersed in it.
Peter, this is the 17th year for Essential Theater. I remember it like yesterday when it began. You must feel very proud.
Yes, absolutely.
What is it that Essential Theater strives for?
Our principal mission now is to support, produce, develop new works by Georgia playwrights, Georgia resident playwrights. With the first festival in 1999, we did one new play by a Georgia writer, and for a number of years thereafter, we would do one new play by a Georgia writer in the country. But the number of submissions that we got from around the state of Georgia grew, and we got more and more high-quality submissions as the years went by. I think not because, I think simply because more people were hearing about us, and there's a very thriving playwright support network in Atlanta, and I think all the playwrights there, there's a group called Working Title Playwrights that which playwrights work together, and I think they've all been helping each other. And so the quality of submissions we got just went up and up over the years, and we said we should focus, this should be our main focus now, and that's what we do.
So Natalia says write what you know, and you say produce what's nearby, because you can. What was it that made Natalia's play jump to the head of the list?
Well, it's simply because it's so good. I mean, I like to say, people say, well, what kind of plays do you look for? And it may sound facetious, but I say the best ones we can find. We don't have an agenda. The plays we write don't have to be set in Georgia. I mean, we have many people who come here from somewhere else, but if they're a resident in Georgia, they can submit to us. So we've done plays that were set all around the country. But Natalia's play particularly is beautifully written. It is warm and funny. It's very theatrical. It's moving. I think audiences are going to love it.
Talking with Peter Hardy, the artistic director and founder of Essential Theater, and Natalia Naaman, whose play The Old Ship of Zion opens Essential Theater's festival on Friday. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to City Lights.
Gracious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Take my hand. Mm.
So good.
Hate to fade Mahalia Jackson, but we have lots to talk about with Natalia Naiman and Peter Hardy. The Essential Theater Festival opens Friday with Natalia's play, The Old Ship of Zion, which is set in a small African-American church. It's set in the present, correct?
That's correct.
And I understand that the lead or one of the protagonists is Mama Gwen.
Yes.
An elder in the church.
Very much so.
Tell us about her role.
Well, she is the sort of spiritual foundation for this dwindling congregation, which is maybe seemingly odd because there's a reverend there too. But if you really, I think outside of even the African-American church, a lot of churches have those women that have been there forever and sort of are the backbone for the community. And she is that. In her personal life, this is really it. This is her family. This is her sense of purpose. And she's faced with, at the top of the play, a real health crisis, sort of her mortality, really. And it's at that moment that she realizes how she's given so much but has not been able to lean on anybody for a long time. And so her journey is one of, well, I don't know. I guess she's really just working through that, but the rest of the people around her have to recognize what it feels like to have someone that's always been there kind of take a step away.
And there's a young man who also figures prominently in this story.
Yes.
How does he relate to Mama Gwen?
Well, his name's Quincy. He's a college freshman. And I think he sees Mama Gwen as a spiritual mother. He is struggling with understanding his sexuality and how that fits into his identity as a Christian man. And I think he really believes that Mama Gwen is connected to God in a way where she's sort of able to speak the truth to his situation, maybe more so than the complex political intricacies of what the church might have to say about X, Y, and Z. And so he really reaches out and leans on her for reassurance, comfort, whatever it is that he feels she can offer him in that time.
Peter, did you do research preparation or have you attended African-American church services over the years?
Well, I thought, well, that's something I need to do. And I found that once I got my cast together, and it's a wonderful cast, that they just brought all that with them, which was a great relief to me because rather than me saying, okay, this is what this world is like, they just knew it. And I told them in the beginning, anything that I tell you to do that is not what you would do in this situation, just let me know. And they've been wonderful.
So the authentic comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
I bet your actors appreciate that very much. I know actors and directors are not always on the same page, quite literally.
Sure, yes. Mm-hmm.
So within the context of this show, Have recent events in the past year, with so much tragedy, and some gains in the form of the Supreme Court ruling last month on same-sex marriage, have these events informed this play and your production?
Well, I would say that they simply illuminated the strengths that were already there. I mean, they made it just that much more clear how important some of the issues were. I think Natalia had written it, and so there was nothing new to discover from that, but it just became more clear how relevant and of the moment this play was, no matter how many years it was since she first wrote it.
Yeah, and I agree. But also, too, I feel that especially when the Charleston massacre occurred, the play became precious to me in a way that it sort of wasn't for a while. Because I think as I continued to work it and develop it, I started to get hung up on some of the things that frustrated me about the Black church in general. And losing those church members in that way and remembering how precious so many aspects of that community are, I appreciated the old ship, this fictional church, again, in a way that I had sort of started to get annoyed with them. And so, you know, there's still so much value to this institution, even with the things that I sort of wish we could get a little better about.
Of course.
Well, one of the things that I really loved about the play, and again, this was from the first time I read it before some of these more recent things happened, was that whereas it presented the struggles and the journey of the character Quincy, the young man who's beginning to realize that he's gay, in a sympathetic and supportive light, it presented a very positive and sympathetic portrait of the whole church experience. So it wasn't like, you know, it was not a divisive play. I mean, literally, I think it's a play that can bring people together instead of setting people at odds against each other. And that's, I personally don't know of another play that deals with that subject matter in quite this explicit a way. There may be one out there that I'm just not familiar with, but I think it makes it unique.
Well, it certainly is the ultimate goal of art, to bring people together, to help us better understand ourselves, which should lead to coexistence, peaceful coexistence. Talking with Peter Hardy, the founder and artistic director of Essential Theater, and Natalia Naiman, playwright, whose show The Old Ship of Zion opens Essential Theater's festival this Friday. You're listening to City Lights.
A closer walk with thee, granted you, Lord, if you please. Daily, daily walking close with thee. A closer walk with thee, oh Lord. Gratitude, Lord, if you please. I'm daily, daily walking, Lord, in close with thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, Lord. Let it be.
are listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Reitzes here with Peter Hardy and Natalia Naiman talking about Essential Theater's 17th season opening this Friday and Natalia Naiman's play The Old Ship of Zion, which was chosen to kick off the festival, jump to the top of scores of plays that you received. Natalia, were these characters based on any people you knew?
Not directly, though certainly compilations of people mm-hmm. that I know, especially the younger characters, and being that I wrote the first draft when I was, you know, in college. So the character of Quincy is sort of an amalgamation of two different people I knew and sort of their journey with identity and their faith and religion. Katrina was while I was in college. Uh-huh. So Sibley, who's the other young character, is affected by a Katrina-like hurricane. And so that was factoring in, too. And then Mama Gwen, of course, is every sort of deaconess in every church. But the characters of the choir director, Juanita, mm-hmm. Daryl, who's the choir pianist and also quite flamboyant man in the church, and those two I actually got in Atlanta when I was visiting Ebenezer.
Ah.
I did a little tour of churches to just broaden my... I really just knew the one church I grew up in, so...
Are you from Georgia?
Basically. We moved to Columbus when I was 8.
Because you do not sound Southern.
My parents are not Southern.
That is why.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so, and yeah, and in a way, I adopted this tradition because, you know, the Southern Black Church is something we all just kind of started becoming a part of because we were here.
Yes.
But yes, those characters, I saw them at a choir performance at Ebenezer Baptist Church, and the choir director there had on like probably 4-inch heels, but was running back and forth in front of this huge choir, like so dramatically, you know, raising her arms. And I'm thinking, this person is like a demigod.
Uh-huh.
You know, how do you do that? So she had to be in the play at that point.
Oh, fantastic. And Quincy, you knew young men in the theater who were struggling to come to terms with
yes.
their being gay.
Well, one was, he wasn't particularly religious himself, but his mother was. And so kind of how do you, you know, the people that you love the most, how do you be upfront with them when you know that it might totally destroy some sense of how they understand the world and who you're supposed to be in it? And so he just kind of kept it. I mean, frankly, it's hard to believe that someone could know him and not know. But, you know, he just didn't talk about it. And that's actually so much of what I feel like I've encountered in the church, the Black church, is the sort of don't ask, don't tell mentality. I mean, you know, we're all here,
mm-hmm.
But we just can't really say that.
Is it improving?
Sure. But incrementally,
ah.
I guess. Yes. And then another friend was actually a Jehovah's Witness and was excommunicated when she decided to come out. And her family kind of cut her off after that. And that's just, you know, those experiences, especially at that younger age, yeah. really just affected me a lot.
Well, and particularly within the context of the church where you think your faith... Mm. You know, is supposed to be love and acceptance,
mm-hmm.
The play deals with that, those questions very, very much
about acceptance and, you know, what is the truth here?
Right.
It sounds like a wonderful story with lots of music, I'm told.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's lots of music in the church.
Yeah, this is what fires it up.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, what, you know, Essential Theater has grown by leaps and bounds. What are your hopes for now?
Well, we would love to be able to, our main goal is to help, at this point, moving forward, is to begin more and more to help new plays by Georgia writers move onto the national stage. And we've been fortunate enough to have five or six of the plays we've done in recent years go on to second, third, even fourth productions around the country. And so we want to do what we can to make that happen. And that's a kind of a manpower question, because it's making a lot of writing a lot of letters, making phone calls, sending emails, making contact to, you know, let people know about the scripts.
Here's wishing you loads of luck. Would love to see this play, The Old Ship of Zion, on the national stage.
Absolutely.
Proud to launch it here, Natalia Naaman. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Peter, always a joy.
Thank you.
Peter Hardy and Natalia Naaman. Peter is the founding artistic director of The Essential Theater. He's directing Natalia's play, The Old Ship of Zion, for Essential Theater's Play Festival, opening this Friday evening at 8 o'clock at the West End Performing Arts Center. This interview, along with more information about the festival, will be posted later today at wabe.org/citylights.